Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
R&B money! We up! Tank, Jay Valentine, we are the authorities on all things R&B.
What's going on? It's your boy Tank. This is the R&B Money Podcast. Again, I'm Tank. This is Jay Valentine. We are the authorities on R&B. And in the building,
you got the other authority on R&B, nigga.
True.
These
true.
Are facts.
These are facts.
Don't at me.
They're going to find out today. Let's go.
My brother Afion is in the building, man. And yes. He's a family member. He's a friend. So this is nothing about this will be formal. We'll try to give you some formal information.
Can't promise you nothing.
Yeah, we can't promise you nothing between all of the madness because it'll just take a turn. We just never know where it's going to go. We want to start off right here.
Kick it off.
Come on, knees. Talk about it.
Oh, shit. First of all,
knees and thigh meats.
These are nice quads. These are not for those in attendance. Right. Okay. All right. I do legs. I don't skip leg day. Okay. That's what these shorts are about. These shorts are to promote never skip leg day. You want to give them a quad? No, you probably don't. You part Asian. I think it's dope, man. Because also to tag onto that, the verses, like I feel like what you and Spice do with verses is I won't say as important as verses, but it's pretty.
There's a necessity, especially right now, because as much as we all love the music, as we're watching,
it's hilarious.
There's always some funny in
it. It's hilarious, bro. It gives you guys a place to go after for commentary.
Right.
Like, because people want to kind of get their shit off still online.
Yeah.
And it's funny because if you watch the verses, it's all praise for the most part, right? You have a couple of niggas in there. You got a few ignorants in there.
But see, this is the problem of where we are as a society right now. It's like there are those of us, including myself, Tony Baker, like we'll joke in the comments and other people be like, why y'all disrespecting the moment? Why y'all? Yeah. It's like, first of all, we are here because we esteem these people.
Right. Yes.
Period. Like, right. Let's just call it what it is. But we're comedians.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm not a comedian. I'd be in there saying reckless.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and I know
black people are comedians.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
By our culture as a whole, we say funny shit. And we knew that the shoe was going to come flying off with Patty. We knew everyone had a pie joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody had, look at Gladys' outfit. Oh, she got the church glitter on. The sequence is popping. You know, niggas is going to say shit. We talk about our aunties who we love.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You know what I mean? For sure. And I think you and Spice give more of a safe place, a safer place,
to just have that conversation. Have fun.
Like, you know, even though Verse is supposed to be fun, and sometimes it kind of gets a little serious, like you said, in the comment section of like, yeah, like,
and depending
these
on
these guys are comedians. They, you know what I mean? Like, everybody got a joke. It's
and depending on the chemistry of the people that's in the verses, sometimes they too cool. And, you know, it gets a little boring or it gets a little monotonous because they trying to out-cool each other.
Yeah.
And that's not as entertaining. You know what I mean? So you got to have a little life in there and, you know, not take yourself so seriously. So me and Spice just, we right after verses, we turn it all the way up.
The fact that y'all got that type of chemistry working with each other without knowing each other before this is the craziest thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man? Y'all didn't know each other before?
Yeah.
We still have never met in person.
Get the fuck out of here. No, stay. Stay.
We never met in person, dog. I'm just a fan of his comedy. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know he was a football player before. Because I don't really follow football like that, but...
I didn't know he was a football player. He's like a professional football player?
Yeah.
Who did he play for?
From the NFL.
I think he might have played for like the Falcons or somebody like that. But like, no, he was like a lineman.
No, because what's crazy is that when I saw him hitting the bag...
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, he's
happy. I was like, no, he can fight.
He got hands.
Yeah. I was like, he can actually fight. That's not like, he not...
No, he got hands.
He's taking his time. He got form. He doing the whole thing. I said,
footwork.
I said, Spice Adams is funny, but he might fuck you up. Like, in real life.
Yeah. In actual life.
In actual life.
And he got the weight, and he's getting his weight down, but he still got them...
Got the weight.
That fat man bone.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Come across your chin. So you've never met Spice Adam?
We've never met in person.
Where is he at?
Detroit.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I just was already a fan. And you know how it is with anything, whether it's like how you and Jamie, when Jamie first discovered you, mm-hmm. he was like, this guy has something that's similar to my thing, mm-hmm. and we need to work together.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You can see that somebody has your rhythm mm-hmm. and has your DNA. So that's when I saw him and he was a fan of mine too, we just automatically clicked.
So was Babyface and Teddy Riley the first one?
The first one. Because it was so many.
It was too many
so
bars.
So much.
Yeah.
Comedy bars in that shit.
Yeah.
I not only, I screamed when I watched you fools. I screamed.
I heard Teddy Riley wanted to kick your ass. Swear on the streets.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to fight Tony Baker.
Yeah, sure.
Why? Why did he want to fight Tony Baker?
He definitely wanted to whoop him.
For about 24 hours. Because Tony was commenting and roasting the fuck out of Ted. And Ted was like, he issued a statement. He was like, man, we do this thing. I'm a legend in this game. But you know, they squashed it. They squashed it the next day. Tony is a fan. So he was like, look, I'm just being a comedian, but I don't want to hurt one of my legends.
Mm-hmm.
But me and Spice.
Oh, yeah, y'all went all the way.
Whatever. Y'all can get these hands.
The praying hands.
The praying hands.
And look, I know Teddy got hands too, because I know his seafood. He on that kung fu shit too, but I don't know. It's all in good fun. I ain't tripping on nobody fighting.
I beat Teddy Riley up. I love Teddy. Teddy's one of my mentors. I just felt like that'd be a great. I felt like that'd be a great soundbite.
It was a good
for the show. The Tank says he'll fuck Teddy Riley up, and I'm like.
Just me mug the character.
This guy.
And me and Jay got to do a disclaimer. The thoughts and views. Fucking Teddy Riley up with Tanks alone.
Come on, got some more stuff, Trey.
So, what's man, like, we get the pandemic. We for people who don't know, right? Like you said, you even just dropped the bar. Niggas don't know you a kung fu master, dog.
I'm not a master. Let me just look.
Well, listen, in the hood, in the hood,
in the hood,
you know how it go. Any nigga wear them shoes, the karate shoes.
Yeah, leave that nigga alone, dog. He be kicking trees. He just be walking, kicking.
For real. Man. So in the hood, you a kung fu master. I don't care if you took two lessons. Niggas right. be like, man, did you see the niggas come home? He was on the bus.
He had a gi on.
Yeah, niggas don't even know what
the car. He had the karate pajamas on.
He had the robe and shit on.
I used to wear that shit to school, too.
No way.
With the buttons.
To school?
No.
Just to school. While living in Germany.
What?
I was the Bruce Leroy.
Oh, you really was the karate kid. Yeah.
No, I was
You was over there in a whole other country.
I had the big white cuffs. And I had also.
But were you walking through with the hands in like this, humbly?
Are you fully committed? You're fully committed.
I mean, I was always eighth. You know, they knew me as eighth. They just was like,
he different.
That's just eighth.
He different.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But mind you, by the time niggas already knew me for like breakdancing and rapping, so they knew I was sane. But when I got into my shit,
I can see you walking through the hall like
and
this.
And I had the cuffs. The cuffs. I was, you know.
And everybody said, hey, you said,
but why at school?
Why? Well, why not?
Why not?
But why
don't
not?
Don't do it.
But why, you know what?
Fuck.
Go that is a great
why does he take
answer.
His shirt off everywhere? Why not?
Why not?
If you could do
I'm gonna
it.
I'm going to tell my wife that. I'm going to tell my wife that.
Good luck.
Is it becoming a thing?
She'd be like, why are you taking your shirt off all the time?
It's and becoming I'm a say, thing.
It's becoming a thing.
Why not?
No, what you should do in this going forward, okay. should the question pop up again, why are you always taking your shirt off? Just do this. Look at all this.
Look at all this goddamn house. Look at all this. Look at yourself.
This is shirt off money.
This is shirt off money. This is titties on display money, huh?
You single, right?
You goddamn right.
Yep, he gonna be too trying that shit, man.
No. Well, at least I'ma have some cool partners to be single with if it all goes bad.
You're gonna get kicked out.
I can't get kicked out of my house, Jay. Let's start there.
Yes, you can. In California, you can. It's different out here, man.
We in California?
It's in California, man. That's why they be trying to get
Look,
to California.
I know his wife. She's a good friend. Zena, you know what you married.
Don't kick him out.
R&B money.
These views and statements.
Same nigga that gonna fuck Teddy Riley up.
No. I was about
he gonna
to...
fuck up remember
no,
the time.
No.
He gonna fuck up remember the time.
Hey, I was getting ready to say our shared.
Okay. I jumped the gun.
With me. And my good brother, these are shared, okay? I'm not going to pull a CBS or ABC and throw it under the bus. We don't share these sentiments.
That nigga going to be living in Avion back house.
I'm fine. Avion got room for me. All right, so where does it all begin, man?
Yeah. Give us the big break. So what's the big break?
For me, this shit all began in my living room as a kid.
In Germany?
In Germany, babysitting my little sisters, they asleep, and I'm left in the living room watching TV. I just got consumed by that shit. And that's back when they had full-on campaigns on TV saying, don't let your kids watch too much TV. Like, it was a whole thing, the idiot box, and they was coming up with all these phrases. But I was getting charged from that shit. I was looking at TV a whole nother way. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean the same thing as everyone else. It wasn't mindless time for me.
Okay.
I was looking at
you were
angles.
Learning. You were learning.
I was soaking all that shit up. I was listening to dialogue. I was watching characters. I was watching movement. So from that point to doing impressions and, you know, being able to mimic people I saw on TV, I used to play music by ear. So that's where my ear came from, to listen to somebody.
What instrument?
Piano. As like a 5-year-old, I would hear shit on my little Casio and to play the melodies. But yeah, that translated into impressions. But the first big break was Def Comedy Jam. That was the one that got me on television.
You got your Bernie Mac on.
Doing my thing, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I remember
bit
that.
Bit by the bug. I was like,
that.
Oh, shit.
I remember that.
Hosted by Jamie Foxx.
Wow.
Who hosted that?
Wow.
I did the season. It was called the All-Star season. It was the last season. It was in the original theater in New York. And it was All-Star. So everybody hosted one. This is after Martin left, you know, a couple seasons after they had tried Joe Torre. Ricky Harris.
I remember when Ricky Harris.
They were rotating hosts. I think Adele Givens maybe. And that last season, they said, let's bring everybody back. So Steve Harvey, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, everybody was on there. Latifah even hosted an episode.
Wow.
And the episode that Jamie hosted, I was on there. So that was my...
That's crazy.
That was my introduction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, that's super dope, man. So from there, though, when you get to a place like the legendary Def Comedy Jam, right?
Yeah. Scared shitless.
Like what are the thoughts, though, before you go on? Because people don't understand comedy in that aspect, right? And you weren't doing traditional comedy.
No.
Like, you was dancing and shit, and you know what I'm saying? It was mixed in.
Well,
like,
I've always been a non-conformist.
Okay.
I never did what anyone else did.
Right.
Like, when people was getting, when the hood was getting tattoos and earrings and smoking blunts and doing all that shit, I just never wanted to do what everyone else did. It made me different for a while. I was the outcast. I didn't get invited to every house party or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, nigga, but you just said you had on a karate. What do you have? You know, whatever.
Not so, every day, nigga. I mean, so, you know.
When you left Germany, you left...
I had a blue one and a black one.
You left the karate outfit in Germany?
I don't know.
Nigga, you was wearing that in America, too?
No, I didn't do that. No, nigga, when I got back to the U.S., I was in Fayetteville, North Carolina. All black school.
Oh yeah, they. You'd have, it'd been different.
I mean, it was niggas in Germany too, but
yeah.
the volume.
Yeah, they would have jumped you just for having the outfit
just
on.
Just for being a fucking.
Well, let's just jump the karate nigga, man. See what he got.
Yeah, let's see what this nigga.
Let's see what he got. Cause to
and
us,
they all had guns.
That's like, the other thing.
Everybody
too,
had guns.
When we see a nigga with that on, it's kind of like, can I beat him?
Yeah, it's a test.
It's the dog, the black community. It's the illest shit.
We like danger. There's something like, about us. We like excitement.
We like danger.
Is it that we like danger? Or
no, we like it. We like it.
Well, we're always followed.
You know some wild niggas. I know some wild niggas. Bro.
We know some wild, but is it bigger than us liking it? Is it more so of it, the aggression and the thirst for that thing? Is it innate in us?
I think we are.
As a demographic, are we from a soldier tribal standpoint, from a tribal standpoint?
Right.
Is that more naturally our element? Like, think about it. Like, when something's going down, we run to it.
Yeah.
Wow. We're like this, what's happening?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially when we're in that element.
Especially right? When we're in it.
I had a conversation with somebody where I was telling them, I was like, when I was maybe 11, 12, and we would hear gunshots, we would be trying to find out where
they
who
coming
was shooting.
From. Yeah.
So we could go back and have all the, man, I said, man, it was crazy. Like, this is the dumbest shit in the world.
Yeah.
As a grown man that I think of now.
Yeah.
Right? But when I'm in that element, I'm 11, 12 years old, and that's just what we damn near baby kids pretty much, we gravitated toward it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most ridiculous shit ever.
Yeah. Like, I've been more scared from lesser things than that thing.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
sure.
if I feel like somebody, like I'm about to catch an ass whooping, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this today. You know what I mean? I get nervous in that moment, but I've had a dude pull a shotgun on me, and I just looked him in his eye like, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
Right.
And I wasn't scared. So I don't know what that thing is. I guess the more heightened the circumstance,
mm-hmm.
it is innate for mm-hmm. us to rise to the occasion.
Right.
So.
Right. And then the element that, like you said, that we are raised in,
right?
A lot of it just is what it is. Like, you look out the window, see who doing it, and you get back to watching cartoons.
Yeah, them niggas tripping.
that's it. It ain't we gotta move.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Just don't go up the block. Just don't go up the block
again for a couple hours.
Yeah.
It's wild up there right now. Yeah. We go, you know what I'm saying?
So you scared a lot of them goddamn.
So you scared shitless at
Def Jam?
Def Comedy Jam.
God. Nigga, and you've done stand-up, so you understand the, but you've done stand-up in a different way. Like, you're already successful in one thing, and you're now trying out another skill set, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine stand-up is your only thing.
Right, right.
You're fresh out of school, and you're now in a theater where there's no, like, no one's walking around with security guards. Everyone's just kind of floating around.
Mm-hmm.
But it's every legend that you've ever fucking admired.
Right, right.
Wow.
Right.
chilling on the second level in the balcony, chilling behind the control booth on the first floor, right. chilling backstage by the makeup artist. There's J. Anthony Brown. There's Jamie Foxx. There's Cedric the Entertainer. There's Stan Lathan. There's yeah. Russell Simmons. There's
all these people that can change your life.
Nigga.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just like.
And did you know anybody at that point? Had you already kind of did your rounds a little bit?
Nah.
Because how were guys getting on Def Comedy Jam?
Bob Sumner. Bob Sumner's the guy.
Okay.
I say that in every interview. Bob Sumner is the talent scout who, I mean, he was more than a talent scout. He was like the glue. He should have been a producer. I don't know if he was or not, but he was Russell and Stan's right-hand dude, and he flew to every club. Every club that wasn't white.
And they just trusted his word. If he say you on, you
he
on.
He brought you Bill Bellamy, Chris Tucker, Bernie Mac. He brought everyone to the table. Like, you can't front on his track record of going to find that talent. And, of course, people had, you know, their mixed reviews about him as a personality back then. But I understand it. You're the gatekeeper to the biggest stand-up comedy show in the game. You're going to be a little saucy.
No, that's tough. No, it's...
And niggas trying to bribe you to get on and shit.
I tell people that all the time whenever you... A gatekeeper of anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The nigga that lets you in the club
has that shit.
He got it on him. And it's
shoulder.
Like,
his shoulder a little.
Like, we just want to have a good time. Like, why are you on this? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And don't touch me. Don't touch me.
That's Jay's thing.
Don't touch me.
Mine too.
Don't touch me. Like,
don't touch me.
We can have all the conversation, but
come on, bro.
Them niggas always want to do this. Can everybody can just get back a little bit? Because it's getting a little. Like, bro. You not the fire marshal. And when I get in, it's 12 people.
It's only 12 people.
Because you want to make the line look crazy outside, bro. Like, come on.
Stop it.
But that gatekeeper, dog, that's a different type of responsibility.
Yeah.
It's a different type. So I get it. I get it.
And he was getting, you know, people trying to bribe him. And
right.
When he comes to the city, they got hoes for him. It's all kind of shit.
Hey, man.
That he has to... There's all kind of shit that he has to manage, but he's the guy. He's the guy that got... Everybody on that show, on that joint. I mean, I'm sure there's some cases that maybe they already knew. Somebody.
So you walking into a building, shit, for lack of a better term, but naked.
New York City.
But naked.
New York City.
In the '90s.
It's
crazy. Just the golden era of hip hop and.
You know, and this is all of those things.
All of those things. You look at the crowd and you see Def Jam artists. You see Freddie Foxx and you see Fab Five Freddie just chilling like. It's a different time.
Right.
And it's the moment can change your life.
Yeah.
So I'm scared shitless. And I'm, you know, I go the night before to watch some of the other tapings. And then that night in my room, I didn't sleep. I'm in front of the window overlooking New York City with a fucking, I don't know what the fuck, a toothbrush or something in my hand going over my set. I'm like, Bernie Mac, and I'm gonna get out the car. Then I'm gonna do my Bernie Mac shit. And I'm gonna do my shit. And then I'm gonna do my cartwheel. Oh, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna hit these niggas with the good times dance. The good times pose. Yeah. Nigga, I was going over the plays.
Yeah.
Making sure the plays was there. But and this was my first lesson in don't be flexible. Don't come out with a plan, and when the plan goes awry, you don't know what to do. Because I most young comedians, I'm trying to rely on music. My big opener has to be to this song. Kid Capri, can you play this song? Come out, he plays the wrong goddamn song. So I'm on live television saying, Kid, can you play the other song I told you to play? And we're waiting a whole seven seconds.
Yeah. And this is...
And so everybody is looking at me like this. Like,
and it's also a new kid telling Kid Capri... So it looks like you. It don't look like him at all.
Who's
this nigga?
But in retrospect, it was me. It don't matter what this nigga played. Right. I'm supposed to get out there and get to it.
Get to it.
Right. But I picked it up. Mm-hmm. You know, I found my groove, and they was like, oh, he's creative. The good times pain. So I was able to recover, but it was like, never again, nigga. Now I'm coming out. All right. Oh, that ain't work? All right, fuck it. What up, nigga? All right, I see you. Oh!
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia, starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I did that one time.
Where was you at?
I was at probably the worst place to do that at. I was in Inglewood at the Savoy.
Chris Spencer's thing?
And
you done, you've already sold out the Savoy
I've
on music.
I've already sold it out in music, right? So
plenty of times when
they like people out on the street, floods on the street, right?
Yeah.
But that was also the problem for me venue. No, the problem for me in that venue is as soon as I walked on stage, it was like, when you gonna sing, nigga? Shit. Yeah,
He felt that.
I was like this. I was like, hold on, two more of those. And then sing something, nigga. Take off your shirt. And I was like, I hate black people. I don't want to perform for black people. They won't let me be great.
Niggas don't care.
What? Hey, we put you in a box like a motherfucker. Hold on, nigga. You are the backflip guy.
Hey, listen, so the intro was a little off. I was like, man, I don't like the intro. I don't like y'all response. We're going to do this again. I'm going to intro myself. And I tried to do the reintroduce myself. And I came and said, hey, they was like this. All right. Okay. All right. And my first joke was aggressive. And was one girl was in the front like, come on, Tank, don't do that. Don't. I was like, all right. Okay.
She's talking to you.
She's talking loudly. To me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I don't want to do too much negative crowd work in Inglewood. I was like, because I don't know.
You got to get to your car.
I don't know. I got to get to my car. I don't want to start getting into the weave. And the, you know what I'm saying? The bad outfit. I don't want to start
and
doing
it. If I'm doing comedy for free, I can't afford security.
But I can't, you know what I'm saying? So
I'm just out here.
So I didn't bomb. I just didn't do that good.
Listen, I know what you did.
You know what I did?
I've been there.
This is when I knew he loved comedy, though. Because me and him talk, right? We talked after. We do that with everything. With music, whatever we own. Movie shit, if it's acting, whatever. And I don't go to all the comedy stuff, right? Because he sometimes... I won't even know. He just hit me like, "Damn, I just went up in such and such." I'm like, "I haven't even heard that city before. What? How did you get there?" Mm-hmm. Right? But I knew he was going up at this Savoy, and I was like, "I got to talk to him after this one, right?" Because I want to see, you know, what the vibe was for him, and I could tell in his voice he was like, "Fuck, shit didn't go the way I wanted it to go," and I said, "So, what you gonna do?" He said, "Oh, I'm going back up somewhere else tomorrow." I said, oh, he love it.
Yeah.
I said, he love it.
Yeah.
Because someone who did, like, because his, you know, I looked at it like in his position of, oh, you've established yourself in his music space. And like you said, as soon as they introduce your name at this point, because you got hit records and people are fans of you, they're screaming because they came to see you.
Right.
Now you're going to do something where they probably came to see somebody else and you're just trying to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But then they still have the... You are such and such to us in certain places. So when he was just like, oh, no, I'm going back up, bro.
It's an ego check for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I haven't had that happen to me since Fort Valley State homecoming in 2000.
Hey, bro.
Is that that story you told about your first
freaky
single?
Song? Yeah. Yeah. That's the last time that happened to me.
Yeah.
And I was standing up there like this. I really am starting at the beginning. I'm really a baby and an adult. I said, this is awesome.
But see, here's the great thing about that is, well, I don't know how great it is. It just depends on how you built. As a comedian, you're going to have those shows.
Right.
Comedy is not like, I mean, even musicians have this too, but comedy is just, you're going to face whatever they feeling that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had hundreds of those kind of shows. And the only thing you could do, it leaves you with that blood in your mouth. If you really about it, you say, oh, nigga, the next crowd, next stage I hit.
I'm going crazy. Yeah.
I have to get it back.
You got
to
get it back. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You in comedy, you only feel as esteemed as that last show you did.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So it's going to be either low or very high.
Is there something that would be considered to be a hit record in comedy? Right? Like that's something that because that's the other thing. You guys have to continue.
Yeah.
To switch up.
It would probably have to be.
You can't perform the same song.
It would have to be. Oh, no, they don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, what happens is this, is that like, here's what's crazy. Like, I want to get back to let you answer that question. You know, being on the circuit for, you know, what, almost 2 years now, the short time that I've been on it, is like listening to guys talk about how the bits that they're doing, they've been doing for like 5, 7, 8 years. And that was strange to me because we do a new song every day. And so I'm like, so you're not writing nothing the night before? And no, I've been trying to perfect this shit for 5 years. That same 15 minutes? Yeah. I'm like, okay.
But see,
that was strange to me. Like, yeah. I'm gonna let you elaborate on all of it. Because how I approach comedy is how I approach music. I'm thinking of it in terms of a project. So I'm building material to build into a project, to record it, get it to the people, and then get to the next artistic piece. And I'm looking to do that in a very short time versus listening to other comedians who've been on the circuit way longer than me mm-hmm. talk about how they've been mm-hmm. working on the same bits for 5, 6, 7 years. And I don't know what's normal, so I'm just kind of in this space where I'm just creating my own normal or whatever works for me. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you speak to that in terms of how you build your content and then going back to what is a hit record in comedy?
So similar to you, because I come from music first
yeah. mm-hmm.
and dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We always looking to create a new move.
New move.
Yeah. So when I started, I was you. I would go to my open mic spot, and this was in Charlotte. So open mic ain't like in LA. It's okay. one club at this time.
Okay.
It's the hottest night in the fucking town. It's Charlotte. So all the Hornets are there, all, you know, pre-Panthers. It's lit.
Right.
Niggas Charlotte. Is dressed up.
What year is this? Give me the year.
I like Charlotte.
This is 94, oh, 95, okay. 96, okay. 97, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the night. Like, what's Anthony Mason be up in that joint? Like, just mm-hmm. different stars. And then all the stars from Def Jam is coming through there. So that's the open mic. You get to go on before Earthquake mm-hmm. or Cedric or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was no, let me look at my notes while I'm doing, no. You had to perform your shit. So I was conscious of the fact that I'm always back on this same stage. As often as I can be, I want to have a new 5 to 7 every time. That was my process.
Mm-hmm.
Always having new shit. Every now and then you'll pull out some, you know, your go-to shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I feel like when you got people that's doing the same joke for 5 to 8 years, that's, to me, that's lazy. Because mm-hmm. I came back to stand-up 5 years ago, and the stand-up special that I'm about to drop is the third hour in that 5 years.
Right.
I was, right. I'm refining, I'm recycling, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, just make it fine tuning. And again, I'm not saying I'm the best comedian. I'm just saying what works for me.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But no, I understand what you're saying. Like, I think you do have to dig. And if you have something that you know is gold, you should work on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it takes 5 years, but that's me.
I don't think it does either. But we also come from a space where this is what I also
constantly
found.
Constantly being creative.
Well, not even constantly being creative. The comfort level of being creative in front of people
mm-hmm.
is different for us coming from being performers before we were comedians.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with being creative on stage, with writing something in my car or watching two guys go before me and say, oh, I need to grab some of that right there. And then going on stage and just getting right to it.
Improv.
Because I'm not shaken by
the crowd,
the moment. I'm not shaken by that. And growing in the space, I'm not shaken if they don't laugh at that one.
Unless mm-hmm. you're in Inglewood.
Unless, well.
My bad, dog.
Inglewood's not laugh is a different laugh.
Cold-blooded.
My bad.
No unity.
None. Man. You just shit on your dreams. Like part of the dream.
And I went up there.
Shit on the elbow
I went up
dream.
There with the worst outfit to go up there in. It was like a floral pajama set kind of thing. What? You know what I'm saying? It was in it at the time. And
when?
I can't.
When was that ever in?
But first of all, okay. It was a nice outfit.
Let's go to second
just
of all.
The wrong place.
Because I don't
first,
know
second of all,
that you're going to be able to justify so, the first of all.
So here's what happened though. After I finished going off stage, I cannot think of this guy's name. A comedian, he's super dope. He came on after me, and his first 7 minutes were about me and my outfit.
Mm.
And I was sitting there, and it was funny.
Oh, so you didn't leave either?
No, I stayed to endure.
You had to take it.
I had to take it, and I laughed. His first 7 minutes were amazing.
About you?
About me. He was like, but he was, I remember a little bit, he was like, he's like, Christmas is gonna call me down here to do comedy in Inglewood. I said, I'm not coming all the way down to Inglewood. There's no way I'm coming down to Inglewood. He said, Chris, I need you. He said, you know what? I'll come down to Inglewood, but I need a few things. I got a few conditions. The only way I come down to Inglewood is if you get Tank on stage in a two-piece pajama set doing comedy, like, nigga, for 7 minutes. I was like,
The giggles.
It's expensive
pajama. I got on the Christian Louboutin. Babyface was behind me. He said, that took courage.
Wait, Babyface
was there?
Yeah. You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, he was there.
Oh shit.
Why was Babyface there?
It was somebody's birthday or something that he knew. So he was there, a few other people were there, and they were like, okay, you wow. Bree was there. She went up and did comedy. She did a set. Her set was fire. Watching her, she killed it. And when I came back and sat down, she was like,
tap you on the knee.
Give me the knee. That's like take your time and jerk.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And that's the ebb and flow of comedy, because whatever happens on that stage, you have to use it.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you're the host, if you're next.
Right. You got to let niggas
look,
have it.
Look, I've been the 7-minute nigga where I had to sit back and just eat that and niggas coming on after me and just roasting my bomb. And then I've been the nigga that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, y'all ain't had to do the nigga like that.
I watched, who was else doing that? What's my guy? Ashy Larry.
Oh, Donnell Rollins? That nigga is.
That nigga funny.
A problem.
That nigga funny.
So I watched Donnell. So listen. I bomb. The guy that comes after me. No, take it back. The guy that comes after me, I didn't bomb. I just didn't do well.
You bomb, bro. You bomb.
I promise it wasn't a bomb because the guy after me bombed.
I'm pretty sure Chris told me you bombed.
No. He didn't tell you I bombed. The guy after me bombed. Like, it was bad. It was
wait, this
really
is the same
bad.
Night?
Same night.
Okay.
The guy after him is the guy who came and gave me the roast job.
Oh, wait, so you stayed
the whole night.
Oh, you, wow.
What you mean? It was what it was.
It was what it was.
It was what it was.
Yeah, when you go home and you get in your car right after the bomb, you got too much time to think about the bomb. You got to stay and absorb and take it on the chin.
And so Donnell had to go after, I cannot think of his name. He's a monster. I had to go with this guy. And Donnell kind of like bombed. And I was like, oh, but.
That's rare.
Since you said that on here,
now when he sees this, he's gonna.
He had been drinking. He was drunk as a motherfucker.
Yeah, he don't.
No, but then he came to me after the show and was like, nigga, that's how this shit goes sometimes, nigga. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta stay. I like what you're doing too. I see what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? You gotta stay on this shit, nigga. And then you gotta. The nigga was just giving me like 15 minutes full of bars. You know what I'm saying? Nah, nigga, you need to. And if you need my help, nigga, you come get me, nigga. I know the shit you need, nigga. Like, you got some shit, but I know the shit you like. And I was just taking sessions and lessons from these niggas. That's why I stayed.
Dope. Yeah.
That's dope.
So I could get the information.
Yeah. I wouldn't have got that. I'd have been on the 405 already.
Leaving Inglewood.
Fuck you, nigga. You know,
I might have shot two times in the air as I was pulling off.
Fuck y'all.
Real quick.
Empty the club out real quick. Like, uh-huh. Oh, you know, Tank shot the club up, man.
But seeing Donnell, but seeing him in a space where, and let me not say he kind of bombed. He was literally just up there doing him and didn't give a fuck.
Right.
Like, he didn't give a fuck. Like, he ran one joke for like 8 minutes.
I've definitely seen some niggas have a this is beneath me night.
He just didn't
I've
give
seen some niggas at some comedy clubs have that.
Fuck.
And yeah, I was just don't give
like,
a fuck.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck with this little spot nigga.
Period. That's what that's kind of what he was on.
Yeah.
So to get bars from him like that, and then when I remember my guy, I'm gonna tell you who he was. To get bars from him, and even Bree, she was supportive. She's like, this, you gonna be all right.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna be all right. Hey, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my first moment of, you know, kind of tasting that defeat and completely understanding, nigga, this is going to be a long road. This is going to be a long process to get into the point to where not even you're just welcome, more than welcome in the space, but that you're respected in the space. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, well, shit, let's get it.
Yeah.
Let's work.
All right, it's dope. It's all work.
You know what I'm saying?
So.
Ain't no shortcuts.
This is another question I have for you. How does it feel to be like the resident light-skinned thug in the movies? How is it that it's like Avion Crocker, Ray Ray, Daquan, mm-hmm. like Lester?
Yeah.
Like what, how? Like when did
what have
you,
done?
Yeah, what have you done to become that guy, bro? Flick.
You know what it is? I'm not a threat to anybody.
Okay.
So they know that I could play the funny thug.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because yeah, I ain't, yeah. I'm not that guy that's like at the club trying to be the light-skinned hard nigga. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a threat.
You've never had cornrows?
No.
It's always funny to see the extra light-skinned.
I've had dreads, but...
Yeah, dreads is different, but the nigga yeah. with the cornrows, yeah, though, it's like...
I've never...
Yeah.
The Tyler Perry cornrows?
I missed the cornrow.
Yeah, I hope you never had those.
Never. Nah, I've never had them. You talking about the lace front?
The lace front cornrows?
The Shamar Moore.
The Shamar Moore? with the Shamar Moore package?
With the mesh hairline?
Man, fuck.
Oh, you asked me something about what is...
Platinum record.
The platinum
record. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Shit, we jumped, yeah.
In stand-up or comedy in general?
Comedy in general. Like, what's equivalent to that?
I think that's something you could just go movie. To. Like,
a movie.
To get put on and be...
Right. Because if you become a movie star...
Yeah,
Now you go into a comedy club.
Or you have a big stand-up
special. A big stand-up
special.
Right? Special. Yeah.
To me, that's the equivalent of that.
Okay.
And then, you know immediately how you've affected the world when you go on tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know exactly when they showing up.
Yeah,
you're like, okay,
okay.
I made a dent in this thing.
I get it.
Yeah,
okay.
So the definitely movie.
So you being the thug,
the light skinned resident thug.
Like, how is that for you? Is that's like,
I don't even think about it. It's not until you said it that I'm like, I do play a lot of funny thugs.
Dog. Those characters, bro, that I just named.
I do different shit too. But those are, those are some.
And you do shit that sticks when you do those characters.
Mm-hmm. Because like, the interesting thing with all of those characters, yes, the one thing that connects them is that, yes, the light-skinned thug, right? Who's just overly thugged out, mm-hmm. goofy, right? But they're not the same person.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Like Ray Ray and Daquan and Lester are not the same person.
Completely different people.
Which is so interesting to me because it's based around the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a trip to me.
Well, those characters are all from different places. But I think, and this is a blessing, is I have a relatability that thugs fuck with. When the people in the street see you and they say, nigga, that shit you doing.
Yeah.
That shit had me and my niggas rolling.
Mm-hmm.
When the niggas is in your comedy wavelength.
Yeah. Same thing in music. Same thing in
when
music.
When the niggas fuck with you, and again, I thank God for this because I love my people. To be loved by the masses is great, but your people are gonna ride with you mm-hmm. the whole way.
Yeah.
They're just gonna ride with you. And so the characters have that through line. Mm-hmm. It's something about Ray Ray that they just like, yo, this nigga is just... We know he ain't a real gangster, but it's something about him that's like a nigga I know.
I'm about to say, because even as crazy as you go with the character, there is still somebody like that motherfucker. Yeah,
there's somebody.
I don't care how gangster you is, you still scared of ghosts.
Nigga.
Shit. That's exactly. What who you are, nigga. Scared of ghosts, nigga.
We have seen the thug nigga flinch.
Yeah.
You know, and when a spider comes, you know. We've seen it.
No, absolutely.
But yeah, it's a blessing to have that connectivity with the streets.
So what is your build as a comedian? Like, what is your, like, as you scroll through the teachings and the things that you've, the pieces that you've snatched
mm-hmm.
from everywhere to build you?
You're saying what are the ingredients?
What are the ingredients?
What are the Eddie Murphy? Martin Lawrence, All Things Wayans and Living Color included.
Wow. Yeah.
Robert Townsend.
Wow.
George Carlin.
Okay.
Like I said, All Things Wayans includes Jim Carrey, right?
For sure.
That's
sure,
all
sure.
in that.
So is that where like the whole physical comedy
100%
for you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Him and Martin.
Yeah.
My wit, the nigga wit. That I call it is Eddie. Eddie was the first guy that was nigga.
For sure.
In the time when niggas
weren't supposed to be.
He wasn't
supposed to be. You weren't supposed to get that off.
Niggas that goddamn Reggie Hammond.
He said because they knew Brooke was going to get fucked that night.
He said that.
He said it.
They was nervous about me taking Brooke Shields to the awards. They was cool with Mike doing it. But when I was going to do it, they knew Brooke was going to get fucked that night.
That's back then.
Back in the 80s, nigga.
That's a real statement.
So that's where I got my nigga funny.
Yeah.
Eddie. That's the beginning of it. And then, of course, there's Bernie Mac. There's Robin Harris. There's, you know, I study goats. Chris Rock is one of my favorites.
Genius.
When I'm on stage, I use the whole stage because of Chris Rock.
Genius.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite?
Stand-up or comedian specifically? My favorite of all time is Eddie. Like, of all time, it's Eddie.
Eddie's my favorite of all time.
Mm-hmm. But does anyone have a better stand-up than Eddie? In your opinion, this is your opinion.
No. I mean...
Because to me, no one is...
Comedy is
no
subjective,
one
is, but
it is.
I don't...
That's why I said
to me. The man has two specials, and he's launched into forever stardom.
Right.
He's the GOAT.
Right. It's hard to even talk against that. You just gotta leave that where it is and talk about other stuff.
They don't have a bad one, right?
No,
like everybody got a questionable one.
Yeah, you gotta leave those there. Leave Eddie there and just talk about everybody else.
He has two classics.
Yeah, classics.
Right? The guys that have done more than him, you've done so many that you have time to have a bad one.
Okay.
You have the volume to have a bad one.
Okay.
Which I don't knock that either. There's output in that. But this man, some of the most classic movies.
Man.
Is Eddie. We're not even talking about the stand-up special.
No, I'm talking about
Beverly Hills Cop.
Discography.
48 Hours.
IMDb.
Night.
Absolutely.
Coming to America.
Boomerang.
Oscar-worthy Life. Material.
Life. Oscar-worthy. The Clumps, 1 and 2.
Oscar-worthy. What's my other one?
Norbit.
You kidding me?
The Asian man. Listen.
Come on, man.
He is the GOAT.
He is the GOAT.
There's no Oscar for comedy, though, right?
There needs to be.
There needs to be.
I'm just asking. There isn't, right?
I think they're going to create it at some point.
And they need to retroactively give Eddie Murphy 10...
10 of them.
10 of them.
10 of them.
And let all niggas out that got weed charges, since it's legal now.
That's coming.
That's the two retroactive things I need to have.
Really come
but on. Give Eddie his flowers and his motherfucking awards, because he's better than all of them, man.
Best.
All the ones that they try to.
He's the prototype for everything that I think every comedian is hoping
everyone
for.
Everyone that has come after him has tried to do it.
The only person to push that line, I think, a bit further is Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Well, he's another.
He's another one of those creatures.
Jamie is an alien genius.
No.
He's one of my favorites.
One of my favorites.
But again, all things weighing.
He's my number two.
Come from it, right.
He's in a class by himself because Jamie has been able to do, and he's the only one that has been able to do what even Eddie wanted to do. Yeah. And that is be a successful musician, artist.
Yeah.
At the top of every food chain. He has an award.
He has Oscar.
Oscar, Grammy.
Grammy.
Tony, whatever.
Does he have a Tony?
What's the television award?
I wouldn't be.
What's the television?
That's Emmy.
Emmy. It's Emmy, Oscar, Grammy, and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And
he's the greatest entertainer of all time. I always say that.
And there's three people that I say are the best storytellers that I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Two I've been around. Bill Cosby, amazing. Jamie Foxx, and Charlie Murphy.
Amazing.
Storytelling impeccable.
Charlie Murphy, and I didn't know Charlie Murphy, I didn't get to meet Charlie Murphy, but watching him tell those stories on the Chappelle show, that was history, bro.
Well, I'm here to tell you as a friend of Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just what he does. I've heard so many stories that will never see the light of day
because it just happens randomly.
He'll see somebody walk by. I showed this motherfucking man back in Brooklyn, man. This motherfucker had that Shane goddamn sweatsuit on, but the thing about it is this nigga had a shower pipe underneath that shit. He would fuck his hoes with it.
What?
You ask him why he had the shower pipe under his jacket and fucked his hoes with it. He said, nigga, my dick don't work. but I love them. You know what I'm saying?
No, what? I don't.
Why not?
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's just his, and to that, like a guy like Charlie Murphy.
There could never be another one of him.
Well, I'm about to speak on like a guy like Charlie Murphy, a guy like Bernie Mac, guys like that who have funny shit about them already.
Right.
They're already funny without doing comedy. Like you could just.
He's just a funny guy.
Just funny guys.
Donnell Rollins. Like, that's him.
They just look, as soon as you look at Donnell Rollins, you're like, man, what's this nigga on? What is.
But Chief, the reason why I said it couldn't be another Charlie though is because he had the cheat code. His brother was the most famous, funniest nigga on the planet. Right? And he got to just be a fly on the wall and experience all the things that Eddie kind of couldn't because he's the star.
He got
But he wasn't even just a homie.
Yeah.
This is my brother.
Yes, my brother. Yeah. I got access. I got the real access.
What do you mean? I'm Eddie's brother. I'm sitting in the. I'm fucking Brooke Shields too.
On everything.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like for him.
It was different.
That's why when they did the Chappelle thing, it was so genius because it was his access.
Yeah.
Like.
And the beauty in it is that Charlie was his own thing. He was.
Right. He wasn't Eddie.
Eddie looked just alike.
Right.
But he's nothing like Eddie.
Right.
They nothing like each other. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's what I also respect about the Wayans family. Them niggas is all
they're the coldest comedic family of all time.
They're like the Wu-Tang.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. there's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The same way how RZA had every one of the Wu-Tang with their own label deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
He diversified it.
Jesus
That's
Christ.
How them.
When I watched Marlon Wayans in the scary movie
mm-hmm.
when he was in the bed by himself and he acted out the ghost raping him.
Oh, that was a haunted house.
Was that haunted house? I screamed. When I say I screamed for about an hour.
I remember when you went to go see that shit. You was like, bro, you got it.
I was like, what is wrong with this?
In the same movie, he fucked a teddy bear. Like, he was full on sweating
and fucked a teddy bear.
Nigga, and then you got Damon, who was in had funny parts in colors.
Colors.
Give my rabbit.
Like, who's also one of the legendary stand-up.
Insane.
Like, one of my favorite stand-up comedians.
Absolutely.
Like,
Kenan, of all time. Kenan Ivory Wayans.
Is mastermind.
Mad Science's mastermind. Yeah.
He is literally what saving your family looks like. Right?
He's nepotism done the right way.
Period.
What?
Him and Joe Jackson at this point. I mean, Joe.
I'm going to give it to Kenan. Yeah. I'm going to say why. I'm gonna give it to Kenan because Kenan was the person who could create the opportunities, right? Joe Jackson created the stars,
mm-hmm.
right? But he wasn't Berry Gordy though,
right?
You get what I'm saying? So
no, I got you.
Kenan Ivory Wayans is Joe Jackson and Berry Gordy,
all in one. Yeah,
because the way they all operate, like whoever has a network TV show, you're gonna see 8 Wayans names as writer,
period.
Music
on the grip, whatever.
Period.
Writing, stand-in, guest star.
Nobody's done it like them.
That's how it's supposed to go.
Nobody has.
If nobody watches that and sees that, there's a blueprint.
And it's his brainchild. It's from him.
1,000%.
That's incredible. And the fact that, like, I think I was watching it randomly. Was it Raw or Delirious that he wrote on?
Raw. Him and
Is it Robert Townsend?
Him and Robert Townsend. They co-wrote the sketch in the beginning. But, I mean, being around Eddie at that time, you know how we tag each other joke.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they had some more input in there.
But to see their names on that was like... Oh,
on Raw.
Shit.
On Raw.
Yeah.
Raw?
This is
And then not to mention Hollywood Shuffle. Like, wow, that's... Yeah. Robert Townsend was in his bag. Yeah. In his
Partners Whole bag.
In Crime sketch show. Man, where John Witherspoon came from.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot of other... David Alan Grier, I think, was on it a couple
who
times.
Who is a monster.
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 We've been blessed, man. We've been blessed to have some.
We were blessed. Because comedy, or in terms of the people I think who are getting on in a comedic space today, it's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's way
That's
different.
That's actually a segue into me wanting to know your thoughts on Insta comedy.
I just had a panel discussion today with
about Insta comedy?
Not Insta comedy, but with DC Young Fly. He and I were on the same panel.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I always say it like this. I don't care what the platform or the era, there's good niggas and there's garbage niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Fair enough.
So when it comes to the Insta social media and people like, ah, that shit ain't real. That shit ain't, they cheating. It's too simple. It's too, they're not really doing, they ain't putting the time and the work. If that was the mentality that was, that prevailed in the 70s, we wouldn't have hip hop. Mm-hmm. Because all them bands, all them 70s bands that was, that new music theory.
And a part of it was their mentality though.
No, but what I'm saying is if it would have succeeded
right.
and they were able to
shut them down.
These niggas that's taking our records and saying words over our shit.
Got it.
This hippity hop. They cheat.
Got it.
We learned them instruments.
Got it.
How you gonna take my vinyl and you gonna say some bullshit over it?
Got it.
You know what I mean?
There was a lot of OGs that was mad.
They were mad. But what I'm saying is I'm not gonna be that nigga
now
that's overlooking the next wave of hip hop.
Whatever it is.
Whatever this social media shit is. Get involved.
Well, I think you did that. You did get involved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's my mentality. It's like, I'm gonna get involved.
But for me,
and
like,
be good.
Right.
When I got into comedy, during the Insta-comedy era, I didn't want to be Insta-funny. I wanted to be able to go into a bar with 7 people and make them laugh, because that's how the comedians that I appreciate got it.
Yeah.
And so I felt like there was a piece of that foundation that I wanted to connect to, a step that I didn't want to skip.
Just personally.
You know what I mean? I wanted to connect to that.
For sure.
Because I just thought, because that's how greatness was defined to me, because those are the people that I grew up under. And I'm not mad at the Insta funny. I get it. And you're smart for adapting and running with it.
But here's the thing. As with music, right?
Mm-hmm.
The greatest ones in hip hop come from music. Nas' dad was a jazz musician.
Right.
Rakim' dad, jazz musician.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre, he plays shit. Like, the ones that still want to go learn the foundation of music.
Really perfecting their craft.
Really perfecting. They're the ones that's going to be around for a long time and have been around for decades. Yeah. So you are cut from that cloth. I am cut from that cloth. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not Insta funny already. We are already niggas that got the tools to get on stage and perform. We know how to move a crowd, right? We're just using Instagram as an extra platform to add to our arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's not all we have. You know what I mean? But what I say about that is get involved. Like, get involved. Don't shun it. Don't look at these niggas that you think is not funny and they're on Instagram doing comedy. Some of them niggas is hilarious.
No, for sure.
It's up to them to want to take it further.
And for me as a consumer or a fan even, there are certain pages that I just go to. I want to see what
that's
the new posts are.
Spice Adams.
Right. What the new posts of this guy, from a Spice Adams to a Ha Ha Davis
Tony
to a
Baker,
DC Young Sly,
but
Tony
Tony's
Baker.
A traditional comedian, though.
He's, you know what I mean? Or like when B. Simone and him was doing all of their skits, and you know what I'm saying?
Pretty
like
V, Desi Banks be having me hollering with his thug nigga shit.
Like, there's something to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's very important for us. You know what I mean? Like, Because maybe this week, I'm not a comedian, so I wouldn't know, so I'm gonna ask you. Someone being able to get something off like that in a minute seems harder to me, because it's not like they can really drag the joke out and it's no, you know, what the punchline type of thing. It's more so like, you can edit, but making something funny in a minute is hard though, bro.
No, it's not, because you gotta think of it like this.
I feel like it's better.
It's you can it's like doing theater versus doing a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can edit the
when
TV.
When you
show.
On theater, when you're doing theater,
you gotta get it off. Yeah, you can't
one play. And done.
Yeah.
You got your lines right now.
Yeah.
There is no break character, there is no do-over. You get to curate that 1 minute that you're creating on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You get to, I don't like that one. Nah, let me get to this faster. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. You get to show people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? That ain't it.
Yep.
What I need to do? Oh, okay. There's the editing process to getting a good take for Instagram versus getting on that stage at the Laugh Factory or in Inglewood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Inglewood.
And
up to no good.
Up to-
That's real.
That is
look,
what it is.
It always boils down to you got to know how to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You mm-hmm. can't just be a sprinter. You got to get some marathon endurance in your lungs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I can get on stage for an hour 20
yeah.
and be comfortable in that.
Yeah.
I'm endured for that hour. I know what that's like. I've done back-to-back hours in the same night, right? I can get on and do a 15-second reel on IG
mm-hmm.
and get up, do a dance move or character, or me and Spice can get on an improv for a whole fucking hour and a half.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I'm comfortable because I've taken the time to play in all of
yeah.
those
yeah, you built
arenas.
Up.
You build your foundation in them, mm-hmm. in them joints. If you limited to just a minute
right.
or 15 seconds,
right.
yeah.
and you talk about you want to be a star and you want to expand, therein and you ain't got none of the other training up under you,
yeah, therein lies the problem. Mm-hmm.
Don't pull up on leg day and right. try to squat that goddamn 350 or whatever right. the fuck
don't
that
do
shit
it.
Is. Don't yeah. you goddamn
don't you do it.
Don't get on stage it. Somewhere, you're going to headline.
Okay.
An hour?
Yeah.
You From this? You just all you did before?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
While your voice get high.
All right. okay. Shit. But I respect the niggas that respect it. Desi, I've done shows with him. He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But he's learning. He's admittedly learning.
Yeah.
DC Young Fly, that nigga got it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's humble. He's still always studying and learning. I respect them young niggas that say, all right, I know the platform that I came up on allowed me to get it out faster. And sooner, but
I gotta do the work.
I respect these OGs that I don't wanna, you know, cheapen the arena of comedy. Yeah.
Now, I thought it was really cool when Martin was doing what he was doing with the Youngs. And I guess he was hosting, but he had like B. Simone and a couple of other like young comedians.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause for somebody like Martin, that he don't gotta do that shit.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So for him to, you know, introduce.
At he, that he level. He pulled up to my stand-up special. Wow. Salute to the God.
Did he?
Wow.
Nigga.
That's dope.
It's in there. It made the cut.
It made the cut.
I had to pay homage.
Put the camera on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to pay homage.
Wow.
That's one of my big heroes.
So what is the next
thing? Daquan and Roscoe Jenkins was back in the same building, huh?
Yeah.
What is the next Def Comedy Jam moment?
What do you mean? For me or...
Or period.
Or like, the culture?
Is that possible?
Here's the thing. It is possible. I would say to a degree, Wildin' Out was that for me.
Hmm.
Wildin' Out's a great moment.
When you get
a great moment in Black history.
When you get a bunch of raw, hungry comedians together on the same stage, especially when we first started, I mean, that's me, D-Ray, Corey Holcomb, wow. Cat Williams.
Wow. Cat Williams.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. Like,
yeah.
You,
yeah.
You, that's...
Yeah. Now, he had some dogs on there.
We was them guys, right? And then now, Chico Bean, Carlos Miller, DC mm-hmm. Young Fly, mm-hmm. like them niggas is animals. They really know their shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Tank did it. Tank did it.
Yeah, I saw his episode. But to me, that is this generation's version of Def Comedy Jam that has a longer span.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will be like, it's not the same anymore. What? Fuck all of that.
Right.
Where else are you going to see a show with comedy and rap perfectly fused together? Like, niggas is coming on there, putting their careers on. Snoop is on there, trading raps with comedians.
Right, right.
PNB Rock, whoever. Like, Lupe Fiasco, Vic Mensa, everybody. Tank. Yeah. Like, it's, for me, that's our version of Def Comedy Jam, but there can always be another one. It's just about the industry getting the fuck out the way and us saying, all right, now this, we're not going to keep letting them tell us what's funny and what's not. We're not going to wait for the green light. It takes somebody daring to say, I'm going to create this.
I'm going to shoot this shit. I'm going to create and shoot it. And then, I, you know, if I need to partner with it, I partner.
Period. So it can be one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Afion, we're not going to keep you forever. I mean, you're welcome to stay in the guest room.
Appreciate you, man.
Jay has a special segment of this show that he likes to,
yeah.
you know, yeah. likes to call upon yeah. our guests to. Be a part
especially
of.
Especially someone, you know, of your travels.
Well-traveled.
Well-traveled. Any nigga in Germany with a karate suit on.
I mean, he's...
I've done some things.
He's got to have stories.
That's a different level. It's a different level, my man. You're the first person I ever met like that. You the real life Karate Kid.
Yeah.
He bleed on the inside. Him.
Karate Man.
Only bleed on the inside.
Avion.
I cannot fight. Let's just be clear.
Okay. All right. I hear you. All right.
You force somebody.
Hey. So yeah. So of all your travels, man. So we have a segment of the show. It's called I Ain't Saying No Names. Mm. And the story can either be funny or fucked up. Mm. But you can't use the people name. And you can give some, you know what I mean? You can give some inklings on who it might be by the way you tell the story. So the people could be trying to figure this shit out. But you cannot say their names. I ain't saying no names.
I'm going to just say this right here. Mm. There's a nigga. If I said his name, I think y'all would run. But when I describe him, y'all gonna know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is a guy who has his face wrapped on Vans, and he always in a Phantom or something. I seen the nigga have billboards around town. Yeah.
Yes.
And
nigga's a legend.
He's got every bandana from every culture, and he wraps it in the front. Like Aunt Jemima Pac.
And Jemima Pac. Why are you kidding me?
And he's got photos with Mike Jacks. He's every fucking where. And he gets out on the red carpet with the adornments.
Yes, all of them.
He's high waves. And the paps be like, what's?
Amazing energy. Amazing energy.
Amazing energy. Knows everybody.
I'm always happy to see it.
To this day, I don't know what the fuck he does. I've always heard that he was an artist. I never heard a goddamn song. But the freshest, newest Phantom.
All of it.
Bentley Coupe. Hovercraft. I'm just saying these niggas exist, and I ain't saying no names, but I don't know if you call that a story. But this
has been on your mind. It's been on your mind.
He's a notorious one.
It's great.
In this town.
The way you just articulated that would probably be the way all of us would have articulated that.
Nigga, I'm sweating. Because you know who I'm talking about.
Listen, a lovely brother.
I mean, spirit is amazing.
A lovely brother. He floats when he walks.
Yes.
Yeah. It's always blessings.
It's always. And conversations always eye-to-eye.
It's great energy.
Sincere.
Not a bad thing in the world can be said about it.
No.
There are only questions that can be asked. What do you do? Who do you know?
He knows everybody.
I'm talking about if Obama's in town, he's going to be right next to him.
Yeah.
I've seen him in places that I couldn't get into him. How? Who are you? Where?
This is going to be part of our Unsolved Mysteries segment of the Army Money Podcast.
I knew when I started detailing.
As soon as you started. he was gone as soon as you started. Everybody.
Okay, look, I got one more. I'm going to leave y'all one more.
Okay. I'll get to it.
I'm just leave y'all one more. Right. Because
that wasn't a damn story.
It was, though.
It is.
It was a
because
it was great.
I have personal interactions with the guy. Great energy.
Right.
We've been in many parking lots and hands
always,
is moving.
Always a parking lot.
It's always a parking lot.
Because it's always a whip, too, though.
Yeah, it's
always an amazing whip.
Always standing outside the hovercraft.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's always a plan. Let me get your number because ... ellipses, right? So it was a story, goddammit, Jay Valentine. the other story.
Nigga, I always say my whole name like I'm in trouble, too. He does it to me, dog, all the time.
I do it all the time.
Instagram, Jay Valentine. Shut the fuck
up.
Jay Valentine to the principal's office. Jay Valentine Domestic to the principal's Valentine. Office.
But no, there's a... I'm not even going to say the profession, but y'all already going to know. There's a cat that, you know, shoulder, I call it the shoulders is always moving. And, you know, got the new, you know, I'm gonna show you his, the key. I'm gonna put the key on the table while we just getting a burger. Yeah, I'm gonna put the Lamborghini key right.
Man, I already know shit. Yeah. God damn it.
Always signaling for shit. And it's like, all right, I know you getting it, but are you getting it?
The Lambo kill.
Cause man. I know niggas that do what you do. And ain't moving. The shoulders don't move as much as yours do. Mm-hmm. But your shoulders be. I mean, saying right. So that's all I'm saying. I ain't saying no name.
Hey man,
because if I say anymore, I'm gonna get a text. I'm gonna get a text.
Hey man, you have the most different. And peculiar, I ain't saying no name
ever,
segment.
Ever.
I present scenarios. Yes. Not even scenarios.
I present scenarios.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Army Buddy Podcast. Our brother Afion in the building, man. Thank you for coming through.
Scenarios.
And rocking with your partners. I'm Tank. I was about to say I'm Jay Valentine, but clearly I'm not. I have a hat on. This is my hair, okay? This is what I'm
see
doing.
See what happened when you hang out with me for a little bit?
Yeah, this, you know what I'm saying? I got to cut.
Throw your hair back.
I got like 3.5 waves. You know what I'm saying?
It's gone.
Fucking around with the Valentine. I'm Tank, and this is Jay Valentine. We are the authorities on R&B music. It's been R&B Money Podcast.
R&B Money!
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media via at R&B Money Podcast or at The Real Tank or at Jay Valentine.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce.
Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.